Some things are better together, aren't they? I mean, I'm just saying, chips and salsa, amen. Can I get amen out of that? Yeah, yeah. August and NFL cook-off. I got food on my mind, don't I? I just saw that. I'm like, yeah, that's good food. August and NFL launch time for the new season. Now, I'm wearing my team's colors, so we're going to talk about being a part of a team today. And Pittsburgh Steelers are my football team. Some of you don't care about football. I get it. But as a kid, this was my team, and it still is. And people ask me, growing up in Tennessee, how did the Pittsburgh Steelers become your team? Well, it was real easy, you see. Those that grew up in Tennessee, you know the way it was. We didn't have a team of our own. And there are only two channels to watch it on, NBC and ABC. And there are only two teams that played every week on TV. It was the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys. And I wanted to be a fan of a winner. Oh, I hear all you poor Dallas fans. You're soured. I get it. You're still praying for Roger Staubach to come back. Just telling you, it's too late. Him and Landry are gone. And no, seriously, I enjoy football, but football is not the most important team. Pittsburgh Steelers isn't the most important thing in my life. Matter of fact, when I moved to college, I picked up a new team. That's right. I came to Tennessee Tech, and I became a Tennessee Tech fan, and went to some of the football games, but it was really hard. Because the 4 years I was there, I believe, were the worst 4 years in the history of Tennessee Tech. Seriously, 5 games we won in 4 years. It's so bad that I tried to go back and confirm that record, and they've expunged it. Even Google couldn't find out Tennessee Tech's football records over those 4 years. Try to find it. I Googled it, and it was like it just kept coming up nothing. It only goes back to like the year 2000. So, but I stuck it out. I still wear the colors, purple and gold. Still proud of being a Tech graduate. But you know, after I graduated and started really growing in the Lord, my real team became Team Jesus. Because I realized that the most important part of a team that I could be is the team called Team Jesus. Jesus has changed my life. And Jesus has made an impact all over this world. And we get a chance to be a part of a team that's got franchises in every city in the world. Every country in the world. Hundreds of languages. The good news of Jesus has started churches all over the globe. And we're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. Matter of fact, just this last 2 days, Thursday and Friday of this week, we had the Global Leadership Summit here. And they had over 300,000 people participating. Over 130 countries that this Christian Leadership Summit was in. Let's see, it was 47 languages, 43 prisons that they were in, teaching Christian leadership. Pretty awesome. And this team that we're a part of locally, the local franchise that we're a part of, is called The River. And as a team, I believe we're better together. I believe God calls us to be better together, partnering together, growing together, serving together, worshiping our King together. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what it looks like to be part of the team that Christ has called us to, Team Jesus. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Romans 12. Romans in the New Testament, page 944 of the Burgundy Bible. If you don't have one of your own, should be a Burgundy Bible in your seat or in the seat in front of you. And we're going to look at Romans 12. Little background here. This passage was written to people who lived in Rome. Paul wanted to go to Rome and start the church, but it got there before he did. And so he's writing this letter to encourage them. And in this chapter, he's trying to help them understand what it looks like for the church to be a team, for the church to work together, hand in hand, to make a difference in this world, to make this place a better place, to make our community a better community, to make our city a better city, and make the world a better world. That's part of our mission as a team. Now, we live in a country that really stresses being independent, right? We live in a country that we celebrate July 4th every year, our independence. We talk about the importance of raising our kids up and raising them to be independent and sending them out. But I would say to you, that's not actually the biblical model. Matter of fact, the other end of that spectrum is dependent, that people are raised to be dependent either upon others or dependent upon the government, and that's not God's plan either. Here's God's plan: interdependent. interdependent, where we realize that, we have strengths and we have weaknesses, and that our friends and our family members and our fellow teammates in the church have strengths and they have weaknesses, and that when we work together as a team, we will build each other up and we'll help each other focus on the strengths and we'll help cover each other's weakness. It's supposed to work that way in the family as well, right? In the husband and the wife. We're talking about gifts in a minute, and my wife has the gift of mercy. You know, my kids come in and they cut themselves, they fall down, they're bleeding, and immediately she's pulling out the Neosporin, she's pulling out the big Band-Aids, and they know if they want sympathy, they go to mom. Because they come to me, I go, if it ain't spurting, you ain't hurting. If that appendage is, if it's still hanging there, you're okay. Just go back out and play. You know, she'll see that little blood. Oh, and she'll be so comforting and pull him up in her lap. I'm like, get away from me. You stink. You've been outside. You are not dead. It's just a flesh wound. And so they know who to go to, right? Now, I'm not saying my way's right. I'm not saying her way's always right. I'm saying we're better together. We're better together as a team. And as a church, we're better together when everybody in this team partners together using your gifts and your talents that God has given you to be on mission together. Okay? So let's read this, Romans 12. We're going to start with 1 through 3. He says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifices, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to speak to us. Lord, I just ask that you would give us the hunger, Lord, to be a team that worships you, that lives for you, and that shares you. I pray, God, that you speak to us now. Let this morning be a morning of refreshment, encouragement, and challenge. And I pray you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you got your listening guide, go ahead and pull that out. And the first thing I want you to see is that we're better together when we worship God together. When we worship the Lord together. Now, when I talk about worship, first of all, I'm talking about in the broad sense. Because what does he describe as worship here? He says, I plead with you, in verse 1, to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Worship is not just one day a week for 1 hour. Worship is 7 days a week. It's something we do by giving our lives to God and choosing to live each day according to his principles and his plan. That's what worship is. Now, part of that worship is Sunday morning. And I don't know about you, but I really enjoy the fact that we come together with hundreds of us and sing songs, and we have people like Jimmy and the rest of the team that have such talent to lead us into singing songs of worship. But that, again, is just a part of what worship is. But I want to challenge you to embrace that part, to embrace all elements of worship and choose to really try to connect with God, to choose to be a part of this one voice that sings praises to God, that worships him in spirit and truth, that worships him from the depths of your heart. It's what God calls us to do. But it's not a one day a week. It's a 7 day a week. And I believe we're better together when we do this. And for us as a church, we've got to continue to worship as a large group. And we also need to be a part of a small group that we worship together, praying for each other, encouraging each other, standing strong with each other. Now, as we look at worship on Sunday mornings, I want to encourage you to risk. Risk singing out loud unto God. Now, if you haven't noticed, we actually have a strategy here. We turn the music up just loud enough so that you can't hear your neighbor, but you can hear yourself. Have you noticed that? That's because we know some of you can't sing at all. It's really bad. It's really bad. And I get it, though, because I'm like the worst. I mean, just recently I was singing in the van and my kids, and if you know my kids, they are so sweet. After like 30 seconds, they're like, Dad, please stop. I mean, and they love me, and they're begging me to stop. So I get it. Not everybody's got the voice of angels that we hear from the stage. But at the same time, we do try to turn the volume just loud enough so that you can sing and worship God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not worry about what the people around you think. And really, when you're worshiping God, if you can, like, just close everybody else out and focus on Him and sing those songs directly to Him, that's the purpose. It's that we might connect with God on an even more intimate level as we come together as a team and as a family. Well, as this team worshiping God, just remember that our competition is not one another. Our competition is not other churches in town. Our competition is the devil. Our teammates in town are other churches. We partner together with other churches. And together, we will win the day. But as a church, we can't stop moving forward, because there are still 40,000 people in our county. 40,000 people in our county that are not in church anywhere on Sunday morning. And it's up to you and myself to love them enough to tell them about the hope of Christ. It's up to you and I to love them enough to invite them and share with them this hope that we have and this message we have. So I believe we're better together when we worship God together. Second thing, I believe we're better together when we experience serving together. When we experience serving together, if you have your Bible still open, look at verses 4-8. Paul says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You see, God's made us all differently, and this is part of the beautiful tapestry He's made. Some of you in here really are good at teaching. And when you teach others about the Lord, people like just listen. Others of you here are great in the gift of hospitality. You always want people to feel warmly welcome, and you've opened your home up for life groups. And when people come, they feel like they're walking into their own home, and there's laughter and there's joy that you bring. Others of you are great because you've got this gift of kindness. And so wherever you're at, people feel loved and honored. Some of you, you're even like that at work, where when people are going, man, I'm having a hard day, they know Melinda is the person to go to. She's always got a listening ear. She will care, and she will listen, and she'll be concerned, genuinely concerned about it, because you're living that out before them. Others of you have the gift of prophecy, and so you see everything as black and white, and when you hear a situation, it's like God gives you such clarity, and you can speak truth into that. It's just hard sometimes, though, when you have that gift, because people come to you looking for a soft shoulder to cry on, and you got a word of prophecy, right? And you want to just speak truth, like, I hear what you're saying, but really you need to quit whining, get in the word, and just move on. And they're looking for somebody to pray with them. And here's what I'd say. That's why we need each other. And so if you're coming to me and you're looking for the gift of mercy, I'm sorry. I'm pitiful. I'm just not real good at that. I'll send you to my wife because she's sweet. She really is. If you've been, I mean, she'll like, oh, yeah. And she'll listen. But for some reason, that's not my gift. And I've learned that if you're needing that moment where you need to talk to somebody with the gift of mercy, I got to find somebody quick. Because except that the Holy Spirit takes me over during that time, I have more the gift of prophecy. I think, oh my goodness, if you would just stop being so ridiculous and change your ways. And that's not what you need at that moment. Right? And see, here's the point. I don't have the gifts that everybody needs at the time. You don't have the gifts everybody needs. We're a team. And if we will ever come to the point where we recognize that you don't have all the gifts and that there are other team members on this team that will do better than you, and you then they get to use their spiritual gifts. And then they develop ministries. Freedom Ministries, great ministry. Working with people with addictions. My brother James Patton, who does that, he has the patience of Job with people. I mean, like, he just stands in there day after day when people go back and forth and back and forth, and he just doesn't give up on them. I'm amazed. But he's got that gift of mercy. Other people, you know, have the gift have a heart of giving. And I see them, and they just give, and they give, and they give to help people. And they lay their lives down in that gift. And if I have somebody in need, I know I can send those people to them, and they will just love them for weeks and months and help them. Everybody's given different gifts. And we are better together when everybody on the team uses their gifts. Nobody on this team is second string. Nobody. That's the beautiful thought part about the body of Christ. Everybody on this team is a starter. Everybody on this team is important. Whatever your gifts are, whatever your talents are, you are needed on this team because there's somebody else in this community. There's somebody else in this city that is hurting and needing you to use your gifts and your talents. And that's why I believe we're better together as a team to serve. Now, we get a lot of chances to serve in this community. We're very blessed that we partner together in so many different areas, whether it be Heart of the Cumberland, dealing with grief, whether it be Young Life, working with high school students, whether it be Collision Ministries. Man, we've got so many great small group leaders in our high school ministry that loves these teenagers. FCA, it's in our schools working with young people. Rising Above, working with special needs families, doing an awesome job. And we get to partner with the Rescue Mission and so many different ministries. And so many different folks in this church, they're using their gifts and talents. How many of you are glad that there are people that have this long-suffering gift of kindness that serve in the nursery? Amen? Yeah? You got little ones? Have you ever come to church and your little one's just screaming bloody murder? And then you go to drop them off, your two-year-old off, and they're just like, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. And the sweet lady in the nursery says to you, listen, I'll call you if we can't handle it, okay? I'll put the number on the screen. And how many of you are excited when you make it through a whole service and your number doesn't pop up? Amen? It's like, yes, yes. Let me tell you, it's not because your kid didn't scream. If you go down there, I've been down there during the services and during the worship time, and there'll be people, some of our workers, and they'll hold those babies, and they're screaming their heads off, and they're just patting their head. Oh, it's okay, honey. It's okay. And they'll walk for 15 minutes trying to help that child, just love that child and calm that child. And that's not my gift. That's not my gift. After like 45 seconds, I'm saying to my wife, baby, yours, you know? And she's like, no, yours. I'm like, no, baby, you got the gift of mercy. You go ahead and hug on that child. You got that. You got that, right? Here's the thing. We're all grateful when one another uses our gifts. And we need everyone to use their gifts in this team. You are the first string. We're not putting you on the bench. We want you to be in the game. We want you to be involved. And we're better together when we all use these gifts and these talents to serve. Now, we're going to give you opportunities out here in the hallway later on. You'll be able to go out there. And there's a table out there, and they got like the flags of different countries. And they've got local missions opportunities, foreign missions opportunities, so many ways to serve. We got the Convoy of Hope coming up. I think we're up to 18, 20 churches now. They're partnering together to serve our community on a Saturday, providing free haircuts, providing groceries for those that are coming, providing medical services, providing what else is there? Oh, my goodness, there's so much. Child care. Shoes. Everybody that comes, the kids will all get a pair of shoes. I mean, so many great things. And we get to be a part of that. You could sign up. Neighborhoods. We want to reach into our neighborhoods. And so Jeremy's got this idea of grilling and chilling and going in and just firing up the barbecue in neighborhoods and just inviting folks to come. Fall Fun Fest. We always partner with Fall Fun Fest. For like 14 years, we've done face painting and animal balloons. And we just go out there and love on people. Love on kids. These are just opportunities. But let me tell you, it's not without risk, right? It's not without risk because Sometimes people aren't open. Sometimes people aren't wanting to hear. Sometimes you'll partner together with people in the church, and the people in the church that you're partnering with aren't having a good day. And let me ask this question. Is there anybody in here that has a perfect family? Okay. I didn't think so. I don't. I'm in it. So that eliminates it right there. Right? There are no perfect families, and the church is no different. So you need to know that as we do this together, there may be times that you butt heads. There may be times that you are firmly convinced that God's called you to do something, and so whoever's in leadership over that may say, hey, that's a great idea, but we need you to wait a couple weeks. I mean, but we've got to do this as a family. We've got to partner together and realize that we are better together, and when there's conflict, we'll work through it because we're a family. And when there's unity, we'll work through it and build it stronger together, okay? Well, the third thing is we're better together when we experience community together. When we come together and love on each other, pour into each other, pray for one another, and help each other through the tough times. Here's what he says in verses 9 through 13. In verse 9, you just need to underline this. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Wow. That's hard, isn't it, sometimes? I know I've been in life groups where, you know, we love on folks, but there's always some challenges because you're bringing families in together. But we're called to love them. Not pretend to love them, but really love them. Then it says, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with what? Genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Boy, that sounds like life group to me right there. If you've ever been a part of one, it's like be patient in trouble. Because whenever I've been in life group, there's always a crisis that comes. Sometimes it may be my family. Sometimes someone else's family. But we got to be patient in times of trouble and keep on praying. And when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Now, let me tell you this. I can't help everybody in this room. There's no way. I can't love you as I'd like to love everybody in this room. There's no way. Too many people. That's why we've got to grow larger and smaller at the same time as a church. We've got to grow larger because there are still 40,000 people that need a hope of Christ. But we've also got to grow smaller because all of you and myself need people that know us by name. We need people that will pray with us, not just that one time we throw a prayer request up on the prayer wall. But we need people that will pray with us day in and day out when we've got a spouse that we're praying for 40 years to come to know Jesus. When we've got a kid that's still strung out on drugs after 20 years. That will still pray with us when we're going through our third bout of cancer that they have not quit praying for us. We need those people in our lives that will go to that level. And it's messy. True community is messy. And I'm just going to tell you, I've not always been the best at this. And you're not always going to be the best at it. But if we will do our best with everything we have to love people the way Jesus taught us, it'll change this world. It will. Because the Holy Spirit can break through even the hardest of hearts. I remember a mission trip I went on to Romania. And it was right after the wall came down and freedom came to Romania. And there were some Romanian pastors that, man, they had suffered at the hands of persecution. But they had been faithful. But the gypsy people in Romania had not really been touched during that time as far as shared the hope of Christ with. And so this missionary that we were part of was going after the gypsies in Romania. And he invited us to go. We went, had a great time, saw a lot of neat things happen. But one day he took us to a street and he said, we probably don't want to go down this street. He said, this is like the hardest place to be. He said, but I have an invitation from one family on this street for us to go. He said, what do you think? And we talked about it and prayed about it. And I'm just thinking, how bad can it be? I mean, really, how bad can it be? I mean, what's the worst they're going to do? You know, tell us to leave their city or whatever. And so we naively went down the street, finding out that pretty much everybody in there had been in prison for something. It was kind of like going to the roughest cul-de-sac in the inner city. you know, where they purposely lived in a cul-de-sac so they know who's coming down the street. And so we start going down there. We had a strategy. The guy leading the team had this idea. He said, if we bring candy for the kids, that'll give us goodwill with the parents. Kids will love us. Parents will love us because they don't get candy very often because it was still a very poor country at that time after the communism had been fallen down. And so that's what we did. We all had our pockets full of candy. And we walk into this community, and we're all fired. We're like, oh, man, this is going to be so great. And can't wait to see the smiles on these kids. And we pull the candy out, and it was WWF. It was free-for-all. I mean, we're thinking we're going to handle like one or two pieces each. Oh, no, those kids came up, and they just started grabbing them out of our hands. And then some fell on the ground. These kids right in front of me, some fell on the ground. And these kids start punching each other, trying to get the candy. And I'm going, oh, my goodness, we've created World War III. Well, I'm thinking we have destroyed this whole community just by us being there. What a bad idea. And I thought I'd seen the worst with the kids. I mean, it literally broke out, and kids were, like, fighting everywhere over this candy. And I'm thinking, oh, man, it couldn't get any worse. And I looked over, and I saw this one kid with a handful of candy running into his house. He jumped on the porch, and I guess it was his father, grabbed him, ripped the candy out of his hand, and threw him on the ground. And I was like, oh my goodness, what have we gotten ourselves into? And I was at a loss. I mean, the whole team was like freaked out. We got together, and we're supposed to go into this one family's house and talk about Jesus with whoever comes. And I'm sitting there going, I want to hit the road with Jesus. I don't want to stay here with Jesus. And I was the one supposed to talk. And I'd like to tell you that I was like this spiritual warrior going, yeah, let's press on. I was like, where's the bus? You know, I mean, I was like, this is out of my range. But you know, here's what it did. It made us get on our knees and cry out to God, the God of all community, and ask him for a miracle. Ask him to do something that we couldn't do on our own. And we did. We prayed and we said, we're going to go to that house, and whoever comes, we're going to tell them about Jesus. And we went to that house, and then, of course, my thought is, there's only one door in and one door out. This could be bad. If they attacked the kids, attacked us for the candy, what are the adults going to do for us, right? But as I'm praying, I'm like, Lord, what do you want us to talk about? And as best I could explain it to you, the voice of the Holy Spirit in my heart said, talk about Jesus washing the feet. And talk about how God loves everybody, and we're all in the same playing field. I'm like, okay, Lord. So I got ready with that story. And then as I started to teach it, the Holy Spirit just prompted my heart and said, now wash their feet. And I was like, oh, no. They don't even have socks. A lot of them don't have shoes. I mean, it was, and the Holy Spirit just made it real clear, wash their feet. So I got done teaching the lesson on Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I took my sweatshirt off because I didn't bring a towel or anything. I had a T-shirt and a sweatshirt, and I took my sweatshirt off. And I said, now I just want you to know this is how much we love you guys. God loves you so much that he sent us all this way to let you know that you have value in his life. And I'm here just to love on you and wash your feet. And I started washing the feet of the people. And they didn't know what to do. Some resisted. Some were just overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, after about four or five people, you start hearing the sobbing in the room. And people just crying. And there have been about four or five times in my life that I really felt the presence of God so much that I describe it as you could cut it with a knife. It was like God was just filling that room with his presence and his love. And he was like smashing the bitterness and the hatred. And as I started moving around, then the rest of the team started washing feet. And then the person that was in that family, man, it was like everybody. The Spirit of God moved that day. We had some people saved, and I'm not going to tell you that whole city and cul-de-sac changed, and I'd love to say that, but there are some lives there that were changed that day for all eternity. And God broke through some hardened hearts that only he could have done, because that's how big God is. And I want you to know that's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of team I'm inviting you to be a part of. It's not a team that I'm the coach. God's the coach. He's the one that's given us the game plan. And his game plan is for us to love people in a crazy kind of way so that their lives are transformed by the love that we demonstrate. And I want to tell you, we're better together. We're better together when we love like Christ calls us to love, when we experience community together with one another. And I don't know about you, but I need you guys. I need a small group. This last week was a crummy couple days for us. And it just so happens, which means God planned it from the beginning of time, that God sent somebody over to our house to visit. And the funny thing is, I wasn't going to tell them about the crummy moment I was having because I didn't want to bother them because I knew they had to get going. And as I start listening to them, they're going through the same thing I was going through. And as they start sharing, I'm like, okay, God, this is obviously God's events because I needed this. And I start sharing. And then we get our wives together, we pray, and we just ask God to intervene. I needed that community. I needed that family of God that will stand with me. And I would say to you, do too. This world is too hard to go at it alone. This world is too hard to go at it by yourself. You need that community. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. Some of you are here today and you've never experienced the community. You've never experienced this love that God offers, that He wants to be your Father. And today you need to give your whole life. You need to start by saying, God, I want you to be my Father. And I want to be a part of this community, this family of God. Well, if God's speaking to your heart, then you know it right now because God's tugging on it. God's tugging on it saying, today is your day. Today is your day to have your soul washed clean. To have your life transformed by the hope of Christ. You're not here by accident. So if God is speaking to you about this, then pray a prayer right now, a sincere prayer from your heart to the Lord. And you can pray it following after me, praying it to God and praying it to yourself. Dear Heavenly Father, today I give you my life. Today I want to be a part of your family, your community. I confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and ask that you would wash away my past. Help me, Lord, to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.